It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we have another exciting week planned for you as we go back to Romans chapter 5 this week and look at the implications for what we've been considering the past few weeks, the implications of justification by faith alone. And I hope you have shared with me the real joy. I have no idea why often Christians are joyless in this world. This is the most wonderful news that could ever be given to a sinner. God justifies the wicked. You know, that is a shocking statement, my friends. That's more shocking than all the healing things that we hear about that go on today. Anything else that is offered, God justifies the wicked. There's nothing more jolting than that. And for the sinner who sees his sins, there's nothing more exciting. Well, let me begin this week by saying I found an old proverb that says, "No one can have peace longer than his neighbor pleases." That really is a true proverb in the dog-eat-dog world in which we live. The sad reality is that most of us have only known war. We have only known conflict. We are not, by nature, a peaceful people. In fact, there probably are many who are listening today who have tuned into Abounding Grace who are in conflict with someone at this present hour. And of course, if that conflict is not resolved, it gradually builds to anger and then to rage until there's a complete severing of any relationship with the person. History has proved, of course, this proverb to be true. No one can have peace longer than his neighbor pleases. We couldn't even begin to number all the wars over the many millennia of history, or then on a personal level, conflict has just become a way of life. So the proverb rings true. The really ironic thing today is how we've disregarded that reality when it comes to God. The whole notion today is that God just accepts everyone, loves everyone, died for everyone. Nothing is really wrong. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. "If I go to hell, I'm taking my fishing boat with me." It was a joke, of course. And people probably find that very funny, but there's no real sense, and this is what I see when I see stuff like that. There's no real sense that anything is wrong. And if there is, it's not really going to be that bad. God is just such a loving God. At least I can take my fishing boat with me if I go to hell. It was this that R.C. Sproul reacted to when he asked his son. There were those evangelism explosion questions that were going on and going around a few years ago. I don't know if you remember those, where you would go up and ask someone, "If you died tonight, why would you go to heaven?" Well, R.C. Sproul wanted to test that with his son. "If you died tonight, son, why would you enter heaven?" And he said, "Well, because I died." Our society, ironically, recognizes on the opposite end that we're out of harmony with one another. But when it comes to God, nothing is really wrong. And this happy-go-lucky Christianity has not surprisingly left us unmoved and unstirred by our sin, with little motivation to hear about God's path of salvation. It is for this reason that most people think they're going to heaven today, and worst of all, pretty unconcerned as to whether or not God would accept them. Of course God accepts them. You remember my analogy where a man was out evangelizing on the beach, and he walked up to a man and he said, "Sir, Jesus loves you, he died for you, he has a wonderful plan for your life, why would you not accept him right now?" And that man held up his six-pack. Well, he says, "I've got six reasons." You see, he had never been told anything was wrong. So he holds up his six-packs. He's got six reasons. "Great, Jesus loves me and I can continue doing right what I'm doing. Everything's fine." You see, what has followed today is a system that basically says, that has the premise, do you accept God? Will you make room for him in your life? Will you say yes to Jesus, kind of like the deodorant commercial? And the question is never answered as to whether God accepts us. For some reason, we've built and worked upon a notion that on God's end, everything is fine. But on our end, we have to accept him as long as he makes it good enough for me, a good enough case for me to actually believe it. You see what's happened? We've turned the whole message upside down. We say to sinners, be reconciled to God. Now that's true. That's fine if we understand it. But really, what does that say? I need to reconcile myself with God as if I'm the one with the problem. And it's up to me. And God on his end is just one big happy God in the sky, hoping that we will give him the thumbs up, begging on his hands and knees. Today, I want to show you that there's an entirely different message that the Apostle Paul presents to us. So glaringly different than what I often hear today. 2 Corinthians 5:19 makes this beautiful statement that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The message is that God decided to do something himself. He decided to do the reconciling to himself because he's the one who's offended. And when that grabs our hearts, we recognize how great a reason we have to rejoice. For he himself has actually effected our peace through the blood of his son. And nothing can take that joy of seeing his loving face away from me. Well, the past few weeks on Abounding Grace, we've been considering the doctrine of justification by faith alone. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, as you trust in him, God takes us as filthy sinners and clothes us with Christ's robes of righteousness. He does not impute your sins to your account, but instead he imputes and reckons to your account the righteousness of Christ, so that when he sees you, he only sees you as Christ is. And Paul has declared this doctrine. He has dismantled all the things that we trust in, our works, our law, our sacraments, and all these things that we build as alternate forms of trust. And he said, look, there's only one way, there has only ever been one way in which a sinner will be accepted by God. The only basis for anyone's acceptance before God is Christ. And the means of receiving Christ and his benefits is through faith, all based upon his person and work. Now, in Romans chapter 5, which is what we're considering this week, we transition a bit. And it's as if he wants to show us what the implications of justification are in our lives. Here's where the doctrine of justification by faith becomes very practical to us. There is a magazine called Modern Reformation, and the last edition or the edition before that was entitled The Art of Self-Justification. If you ever can pick that up, I would encourage you, if you'd like to write to us, we can send you a copy. Horton, the author there is Michael Horton, and he writes there under the section heading, Who Needs Justification? And then he says this, God justifies the wicked. That's pretty radical, isn't it? It's more radical than the claim that God heals the morally sick or gives grace to those who are willing to cooperate with it or that he rewards those who try to do their best. You hear what he's saying? This is a very radical statement. God justifies the wicked. And he's reacting to the fact that so many evangelical Christians today have denied the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And he says, we don't have to deny justification outright. It's just irrelevant when we stop asking the most important question. He says, look, we can deny justification when we lose the right questions to be asked. And so then he gives examples of the current trends in Christianity today of these sort of questions that are being asked, which de facto are denials of justification. So he starts with this, and maybe you recognize these sort of questions in sermons today and things that pastors pose. Having trouble with the marriage or the kids? Horton says, sure. Not living up to expectations? Well, doesn't everyone? Not getting the most out of your life and need some fresh advice? I'm all ears. But then Horton says this, but we don't care about sinners being in the hands of an angry God. And if we don't sense this need, and of course that's the greatest need. He says, if we don't sense this need, we don't cry out for a great Savior. And Horton goes on to say, when God, now listen to this today on Abounding Grace, if you are driving or whatever, this is so important. When God does not become a problem for Christianity, but instead a big therapy icon in the sky for moral causes. Justification becomes an empty symbol. This doesn't take on much meaning in our lives. It's just the old language that we shouldn't use anymore and so on and so on. We need practical stuff. And do you hear what he's saying? When God doesn't become a problem for Christianity, but instead a big therapy icon, justification becomes an empty symbol. And all of that based on the fact that we're asking the wrong questions today. You see, he ends the article by saying justification should be so impactive to the Christian's life that it affects every aspect of human life. Well, this week we want to look at how relevant this message is and how this single truth of justification by grace through faith alone shapes who we are as people. And Paul is going to apply that here, this wonderful truth of justification. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and I would encourage you, go back and meditate upon this today. He says, therefore. And the therefore speaks of everything he's been saying in Romans 3, 21 through chapter 4, to prove that the only way a sinner is right with God is through faith in Christ. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is the most wonderful news, because as we're going to look at this week, essentially what that means on the opposite end, and this is not a message that we hear today, but on the opposite end, that means that all of mankind right now is at war with God because of their sin. That's not a message we hear. God has declared war because we have sinned. And this is a very serious message. That means, as Jesus said, anyone who is not in him right now presently abides under in the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is over their heads. And you see, what Paul is saying is, look, when we are justified by faith, we have come to see that we have this wonderful peace with God. War is over. There's no more enmity. There is now a loving relationship with the Heavenly Father by which he's going to say, you have access and you have a sure and certain hope of the promise of the resurrection, all these blessings that come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the question today. Are you trusting in Christ? Do you know Christ? If you have believed in Christ, you can be absolutely assured in every way. The shining face of God's favor is upon you, and you have peace with him through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My friends, that's a message to be cherished.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.